everyone. Welcome to episode 97 of Rewatchable. It's our final episode for Avatar The Last Airbender, our wrap-up episode. And you're going to hear from the super fans, and then you're going to hear from the newbies as well. And I'm Natalie. I'm leading the super fans group to say farewell. And if you want to reach us after this episode to, you know, spill out your last feelings about Avatar, you can email us on rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable, or you can comment on this post on Hyperbole. You can also join us over on Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And just in case you haven't heard all of us at once together, the group of superfans that we have is myself, Natalie, and then we have Mitch, Caitlin, and Michal, and then Donya, but she's leading the other group as the superfan leader of the newbies. But we are going to be talking today about, you know, our feelings about finishing the show and everything like that, and a few other little tidbits. So, yeah, first of all, hello, everyone. Sad day for us all.
Oh. Alas, only for a while. Korra is coming.
Yeah, one day, soon, you know, in a little while. In a little while. How many weeks is that, Caitlin, till we do Korra? Is it like 10 or something?
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. I can survive that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have a refreshing time and then...
Well, I think we should give Freaks and Geeks all a try, even if we're not on Korra all, because, I mean, we should not just, like, do that for the prosperity of the show, but also because, I mean, there has to be a good reason we're picking it. I trust in the Karen, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So I'm definitely going to, like, still tune in and, like, watch the episodes with y'all and still get, like, excited for when Korra's happening and all that. But, I mean, honestly, Outlet was such a good run, though, so it's going to be so hard to follow it up with any given show.
It was very long, and it has its own very intense fandom. I don't know if Freaks and Geeks has, like, a fandom who will come and flock to us at all. But let's not talk about Freaks and Geeks now, because it's not time for that. It's time to farewell Avatar. So, first of all, I guess the first thing going in, now that we've finished the series, and we'll go around the circle for this one, do you guys have different feelings now that you've watched the show again? Like, do you have a different overview of it, or you know, picking up something really different that you didn't either the first time or the last time that you watched it? Michal, do you want to go first with that one?
You know, not really. It was definitely very cool to, you know, watch it with people who hadn't watched it before. But I think, you know, I think for the most part, I kind of felt the same. Like, I think the more times I watch it, like, the more irritated I am with, like, early Zuko, just because I know where he's going to go. So, like... like, if you do a rewatch right away, you're like, whoa, holy crap. Like, right, I forgot. You were, like, bald and angry. But, yeah, no, I'm for the most part, I dug it.
Yeah, I'll actually agree with that in that, yeah, I feel like I've, you know, watched the show several times over the last few years, and that it's still is ground in feeling pretty much the same. It's not like I watched it as a child and then my feelings about it sort of changed as an adult or anything like that. But yeah, this rewatch, it took so long for Zuko to get good. I was just like, did it really take this long? I really forgot that it took him that long to join the Avatar. I thought
and
that
to
it
not
happened
have, like,
in like
ridiculous
the first
hair.
Like, I thought it happened way earlier, and so that was the biggest thing for me. But in general, yeah, I think that, you know, I was, you know, watching it, the first time, second time, third time, I watched it as a kind of conscious adult who thinks a fair bit about television, even without being on a podcast about it. So,
yeah.
Caitlin, how about you on the watch through this time?
Oh, my feelings are pretty much the same in my epic love for the show and being like the Maiko shipper opposed to Ariana, and I dislike Zutara even more this time around,
God.
I guess. So sorry.
How?
Yeah, I feel like that I shouldn't even comment on Zutara because I feel like the people are sick of me being like, but I don't get it. But I don't. I seriously, even because the girls were going on about it so much, like Ariana and Brittany, this, because they were going on, I kept trying. I kept being like, okay, what are they getting here? Like, I kept looking for it. But I literally don't get it.
You can put me in that train, Natalie, because I was like so rooting with them. Like I egged them on so much more to make them think it was legitimate.
It's blue and black or white and gold. I think you either see it or you don't. I mean, yes, I certainly so see true. It.
True.
I had forgotten kind of how, you know, I kind of don't. I don't see it anymore just because I know how it ends, but I remember, like, it was validating for me to, like, have them all be like, oh my gosh, this ship is amazing, because that was how I felt when I watched it initially. And, yeah, so, you know, I think people who, like, you know, say that, like, there's absolutely nothing there, like, you don't have to see it, but, like, I feel like there's a tendency in the fandom to go, like, it was never a thing at all, ever. And, like,
that's,
if you
think that's what Tara, is, yeah.
Like, no, shut up and you're wrong. It's like, A, people can ship whatever they want. Trust me, people ship way weirder things than Zutara. And also just, yeah. like, you know, I feel like there is a parody there. You know, I think, I mean, I remember I was drawn to, like, the, you know, fire and water thing. And, like, they are more of an age than Zuko and, than, you know, Aang and Katara. But whatever. I mean, again, I love Mace.
You're 100% right. You're totally right. And it's exactly like the dress thing. Because what's pissed me off so much about the dress thing is people just screaming, I'm right, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right. It's like, that's not what's going on here. What's going on here, it's not like there is a lack of scenes that could be interpreted as Zutara. It's not like that's not there. It's definitely there.
It's not even subtext if you don't want it to be.
Yeah,
you know?
I just never vibed it in the same way that the dress looks different. Oh, God, why are we talking about this? But it is such a good metaphor.
It is.
Yeah, it's certainly, like, there in a way. I didn't see it the first time without knowing that it was meant to be a thing. I never picked up on it. And this time I was sort of trying, because the girls are going on about it. And I'm still like, no, I still don't get it. It's not even because I ship something else. I still just don't vibe those scenes like that. But oh well, that's fine. Mitch, how about you? Anything else aside from Zutara that, you know, was different to you on this rewatch?
Well, I have to agree with you that without rehashing the exact points you were just bringing up about Zutara and kind of flipping them on the end of where I fell in love with Zutara, it really was essentially like I kind of saw it and I kind of knew it was a thing before. But then, like, once I knew that it was a thing I can kind of get someone else excited about, it reversed psychology to myself. So then I got into it legitimately. It was a joke at first. And then it became real.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
I'm a One Direction fan. I started being a One Direction fan as a joke, Mitch. As a joke.
Oh, yeah. That's how I find, like, the best things happen in fandom for me, though, for real. Like, yeah. When I get something into it as a joke, and it's just for fun, and then I just so intensely love it. It's so weird. I don't know. It's just, that's the thing, too. Like, going into Atla, I remember when I first watched it, when it came out, I think I was like 10 years old. Me and my friends would watch it just to make fun of it because we didn't understand the culture. We were young. We were like, you know, in a box of a world where we didn't understand why people would care so much about the things they did in this show. And I can think of like some like silly examples. Like I remember that it was a big deal for my friends and I to like make fun of Katara a lot because she always made really funny like noises. And one of them was when she's trying Haru's rock soup on the metal ship, and she makes this noise like, "Hoo-ah!" And that was like my go-to thing. Like I knew nothing about Atla but that noise, and it was so much fun just to go. And then eventually I was like, "But wait, what's the context here? Like, why are they in prison?" Because I just, you know, one off. Hand watched that episode, and then it got really intense because I was like, oh, okay, so there's like this firebending guy coming after them, and he kind of has the hots for Katara, I think, and you know, it just grew into something massive in my mind, and now I can't get enough because I imagine like sequences in day-to-day life where who doesn't, where you would just wish that you could bend, you could move that rock, you could fly with airbending, you could do whatever. It's so infectious in my mind now that I think that, oh, this is so damn sappy. I would never be the same without the show now. I really wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, I would be super hypeable if I didn't have this show. So
yeah.
Oh. Because I got my job through Korra, and obviously I watched Korra because I watched Avatar. So.
Oh. Feel. No, yeah. I've got to say, this time around, I've been thinking a lot more about, like, bending and how it developed and, like, how it can be developed to do, you know, at least one aspect of bending could be developed to do so much. Like, you know, water bending, you could, like, you know, like a lot of stuff with food. Like, it's not, it's how it's more than just the base of the four elements. And I was thinking a lot more about that. I also, and this is going to, like, shock and horrify all the people listening, maybe, that this rewatch, side by side with my issues with Katara, I probably liked her a bit more and Toph a bit less on this rewatch than I have in the past. What? Everyone's like, yeah, which I said, I know it's going to shock and horrify people or whatever, but it doesn't mean that the episodes where I'm like, Katara, you are being unforgivable. I still agree with that, but there was, I just felt that shift a little bit more. So yeah, that was probably my biggest thing. Ooh. But yeah, I know that we've talked every week about our favorite scene and our favorite quote and all of those kind of things, but obviously not everyone has been on every episode. So, just after this rewatch, do you guys have sort of an overview of favorite characters or episodes or arcs, moments, you know, all those kind of things that, you know, really came to life again on this rewatch? Anyone who sort of really stuck out for you? Caitlin, do you want to go first with this one?
Well, everyone knows I love me some Boiling Rock for obvious reasons, but yeah. My favorite moment in the entire series is in the finale when Zuko and Iroh reunite, and Zuko apologizes, and Iroh forgives him. It destroys me every time, and that is my favorite. I just think about how horrified he must have been, like, and scared, because the last time he did something like that, he got this massive scar on his face and was banished, and then his father figure is forgiving and loving, and it just, it's powerful.
Yeah. Iroh is everything. He really is. He makes the show what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Mikhail, how about you this time around? Anything really stick out for you differently with favorite moments?
You know, I hate to say it, but no. not really. I kind of just, you know, it was nice to see it again, kind of maybe in the context of Korra, I think, because the two shows are very different. And when you, obviously, I was covering Korra very extensively pretty much the whole time we were doing Rewatchable. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm always impressed at kind of how, not dark, but how real they manage to make things, you know, even though it's, you know, a kid's show and like those things that they slip in there and then kind of make even more evident as it goes on. Yeah, I'm continually impressed by that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It always does stick out as like, oh my God, I can't believe that they actually not got away with it. But yeah, that this was actually a real thing that they made for children. Like, it does always surprise me every time. Mitch, how about you? For any sort of characters that you decided this time around that you loved, or like moments that you'd forgotten about that were amazing to you?
It's weird because like I try and think of one character that I loved more this time around, and it's not one. It's once again so damn sappy. Like the whole show, I loved more because it was so cool. Like stopping at points and then discussing those moments because I could really dig down and think about like, wow, Ty Lee really had a thing for Sokka, or like whatever. Like these little moments that I would just kind of brush off became bigger to me because then we can get the newbies really excited about it. They'd start shifting it, you know, theorizing, and it was really fun. You know, like there's moments that would just be kind of tedious to watch originally, like Sokka's schedule. But now that it's hashtag team Sokka's schedule, it's fun because it's like it's a thing. I love it. I do, and. I guess that I still have a very strong love for the Azula arc, especially with how all of us have been able to I don't know if this is the right term, but, like, prose about her and talk about the sadness of it. Like, Adiata in particular talks about how sad it is that no one raised her, and it brings a really strong emotion to mind when I think of Azula's final crazed moments of her just shouting and throwing out fire. And I think that now I figured out the question that I asked the last episode, why wouldn't Azula break from those chains when she did before in Ba Sing Se in the Day of the Black Sun? Because she was done. Like, she was emotionally
mental.
Crushed.
It wasn't that she couldn't physically, it was mentally she couldn't.
I know, and it just, yeah. It makes me happy that you, that, very much not a spoiler, as I know that that's that's the Mitch joke, right? But she's in the comics, and it's gonna be nice to just to see more for everyone, because, she makes me feel the feels, as a lot of characters do. Yeah, she's definitely still, like, that fight, it just reaches the exact climax that I want to, and the rest of the finale doesn't. It's weird. It's like the first part is the best, and then the last two parts are just like, meh. Like, go as expected, whatever. You know, like, you didn't think about those, but Azula's, you thought a lot, because you were like, I feel bad for her. She's crazy. She had no one to love. Yeah, it's just, it's really deep when you get into the Azula stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I liked a lot of little, like, not little, but I liked a lot of, like, the characters that we came across, like, they stuck out to me a lot more, this time. Dead Suki. I love Dead Suki. Oh my god, so much more on this rewatch. Not that I, like, ever, like, shafted her off to the side before, like, she was always kind of cool, but I really loved her on this rewatch.
Can we talk about the, conversations now, Natalie?
No, when we get to it, because it's in Ariana's, document, but yeah,
oh, okay.
Suki was really big for me. But Aang as well, I really appreciated him more than I have before, and I'm glad of that, seeing as he's the protagonist and all of that kind of thing. I don't know. I just felt more sorry for him as a child, and more impressed by him as, like, a, you know, a product of his monk society and his, like, wisdom and veganism and stuff. I don't know. Like, he was still, like, annoying at moments. But, like, all of the times when, you know, Ariana would be like, stop dancing around. You have, like, stuff to do. You have to fix the world. I'm like, you know, he's 12. This is super realistic. Like, I kind of appreciated that more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. We'll go into the shorts, the chibi-style video shorts that we'll put out. And I want to sort of hand over to Mitch and Michal to lead this bit, because I'm not sure exactly when in the scale of, like, time that these were released, like, what year they were released and stuff like that. And we've all watched all or some of them, and we'll just talk about the three of them. But, yeah, Michal, do you know what year these were released, like how these came out in context?
No.
Okay.
I can guess. I think it's...
I mean, they might have been a DVD thing. I don't... Well, maybe a Comic-Con thing. I have no idea, but I have so many... So much love for School Time Shipping. It's like not even funny.
Oh my god. Okay, so what it is there's these three little animated videos with sort of chibi style drawings, but the voice acting is the original actors, I believe, for most to all of the characters. And there is one about Sokka and the Swamp Benders, one about a bending battle, and one about called School Time Shipping, which features pretty much every character or every teen character in the show in all going to school together. And it sort of does what it says on the tin. It is a ridiculous little shipping thing. But Mitch, do you want to take us through them? We all just watched the shipping one for science a few minutes ago.
For
but
science.
Let's talk about the contents of each one, I
Natalie,
guess.
Was that a Portal reference? If so, I really appreciate that. That's really cool.
I don't know. Maybe.
So yeah, Swamp Bending is what those two people that were in the giant...
the waterbender, the weird waterbender thing.
But it did not have the guy who makes the tree move stuff, that guy. No, it was just the two ones that, like their little crocodile, and that's kind of a skit that the crocodile bites off Sokka's pants as Sokka is trying to, for some reason or another, ski on the water, like jet ski, and I can feel how he's feeling in this, because I've tried before, and you just get a bunch of water up your nose if you don't stand, because you'll just drag, like, you know, head back, and the water will just shoot up all your, you know, orifices at the same time, so. And they were going too fast for him to get into it, so it was kind of cute, and there's cute little detail moments, like, before Sokka goes to put his feet in the skis themselves, there are little critters that are shown in a close-up, and there's a worm that's crawling on one of them, and then a freaking fish comes out of one of the footholes, grabs the worm, and goes back, and then they're trying to put Sokka's feet in it. It's cute. And his feet are, like, trying to, like, you know, not go in. And it's just adorable. There's nothing really special story-wise that goes on in this. But the next one, unless anyone has anything to say.
Can I just point out one thing about the swamp one?
Yeah.
Actually, is that it has another reoccurrence of something that I feel like that we haven't talked enough about on this show. Or maybe other people have, but I feel like I haven't. Which is soccer and science. There is so much scientific correctness in, like, a lot of the things that Sokka does with, you know, or a lot of things that are mentioned, like in Boiling Rock and, like, with a lot of the inventions that he makes. It's, like, clearly magic, you know, because they have bending and stuff, but there's so much scientific correctness, like the volcano episode and, like, just so many bits. And I just love that. And this had that as well with his, like, water filtration device. And I liked that. So I love Sokka's science so much.
Totally, but yeah. That was kind of cute. And it should be mentioned that Toph is here, so when I was saying that I could kind of guess when these happened, it has to be post-season two. And I'm feeling like it was
season two box set. I just looked it up.
There you go.
All of them appeared on the season two box set.
Yes.
Cool.
I thought that they would have just aired on TV, because they were very ravenously collected, I thought, by fandom. But then you all hadn't heard about them, other than McCall, before that, so I was just like, wow.
I knew about them, I just hadn't, like, come across them, right. But, yeah.
So then Bending Battle 1 starts off with all the characters of the gang per season 2 doing their old types of bending and kind of rock, paper, scissors, and that starts, for some reason, like, an argument of, like, mine's best, and they use Sokka as a prop to show, like, I can earthbend Sokka as a pinball, I can blow up Sokka as an air balloon, or I can freeze Sokka, chop him up into little pieces and put him back together and he'll still be okay.
What?
Yes. Yeah, Katara's a little bit murderous there. But then Zuko shows up and with Iroh, and they're just like, you know, firebending is the best just because. And eventually Zuko, like, bends lava and surfs down and makes this giant dragon, and then Katara in her ultimate shipping moments, if you ask me, not only comments on how cute he is, but then makes his dragon into a cute little statue. So it just ends with firebenders Iroh and Zuko running away like, we're the best, lol, bye. And yeah, once again, not too much story. I know we're all eagerly anticipating school time shipping, so does anyone have anything to say about what happens in Bending Battle?
It's cute because, like, Appa and Momo are, like, giving scores, like, racing sides of the scores, and Iroh's, like, clapping as they're the judges. It's really adorable.
Totally. And, McCall, I think it's appropriate to give you school time shipping, because I've always known that you've been a big fan of this little short, so tell us what happens.
Yeah.
Basically, the whole Avatar crew, and I mean the whole Avatar crew, is in school together, and they are all terrified when Avatar Roku announces that they are going to have the most important event of their life, which is the like dragon dance or something. Mm-hmm. And they don't know who to ask, and there's a lot of like, Sokka doesn't know whether he should go with the moon girl or with the you know, fan girl, and no pun intended. And they start to, like, fight over him. And then, of course, Aang is like, I want to ask Katara, but I don't know how. So he goes to Iroh for therapy. Iroh is, like, doodling tea on his little pad instead of taking notes. It's, like, amazing. But unfortunately for Aang, Zuko, Haru, and Jet are all fighting for Katara's affections. Hilariously, like, I think my favorite moment is when Jet, like, runs up to her, like, they're all in PE, and they all have little, like, PE shirts on,
but they're not,
except that Jet is still wearing, Jet is still wearing his costume. He's still wearing his, like, thing. He's not, you know, he has no t-shirt on. Everybody else is in t-shirts.
He's a rebel.
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
And he's like, you, me, and then he takes his little hook sword and makes it into a heart. It's a dance. And I can't get over it. But then what happens at the end is Aang, basically everybody tries to, like, demonstrate their love for Katara, and Aang invites her to the dance with cloud bending, and for some reason Teo, I don't know why though, and
yeah, apparently he can't do it on his own, like,
yeah, or he was like, yeah, I didn't really get that, but and Katara was like, oh, I'd love to go to the dance with you, but I said yes to someone else, and she runs off into the sunset with the blue spirit, and Zuko can't handle that. And it's like, and I remember, like, when I first watched this, I was, I guess, like, that was, like, near the height of my Zutara obsession, and I was like, Zutara, that means Zutara.
It does, in a way. It's weird.
It sort of does.
Yeah, clearly the I mean, obviously we knew they knew, but clearly the creators had, like, something in mind for Zutara, given that they made, like, because the, you know, the Powerpuff Girls were in it as well, but Zuko was still like, I want to ask Katara to the dance. Right. So, like, even though Mei was there. So clearly they thought that, you know, Zutara might be a thing at some point, or that they sort of knew the fandom liked it. But
yeah, they definitely, like, responded to the fandom with that a lot. Like, the shipping wars were, like, kind of insane, and, like, thankfully I never really got involved in it. I got involved to the point where I was, like, upset when people would say that Zutara, like, had no chance and was nothing, but that was, like, I never argued for a ship. Like, the worst argument I got in the Avatar fandom was, like, this fight with somebody on Avatar Spirit message boards who hated Mei, like, hated her to pieces, and I was like, because she was, like, mean, and, like, the whole thing with, like, her giving up her brother and whatever, and, like, whatever. I was just, like, in full-on fangirl mode and spent, like, quite a long time on my mother's, like, first-gen iPhone, like, typing out
arguments. Amazing.
What a moment in time.
I was in college at the time, so, you know.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah. But they definitely, I think they're actually really good at, like, observing, like, the tides in the fandom and, like, responding to that, not in, like, a way that it affects, like, their vision, but in a way that they will make fun of it and, like, in a totally hilarious, fun way, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it also should be important to put a big, big Korra bookmark here and to hashtag the beach this. Essentially, after Korra ended, there was a reconciliation, I suppose, of Zutara by either creator, Micah or Brian, on a Tumblr post saying, like, we knew that Zutara was such a thing and we paid attention to it. It just didn't happen because it didn't fit in our plans. So you're right that they don't have to follow the fans. They'll hear them. And that's the most we can really say for Korra. But I think, I mean, that bookmark will make sense once we hit, like, the Korra finale. To go back to the Zutara stuff, it's all going to, like, fit together for all of you Korra newbies.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we also have to give a shout out to the insane pairing of Ty Lee and Haru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like what she say.
Haru is just like, you know, Katara's like, I don't like sensitive boys, which is like a lie, Katara, but okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so Haru knocks the head off his gigantic Katara earthbending statue, and Ty Lee's like, I like sensitive boys, and he's like, score, you're hot, and puts Ty Lee's head on it instead, which just Venus shows just shows how easily that, you know, changeable people can be, I suppose. But yeah,
Ty Lee looks good in some waterbending clothes, I have to admit. She looks good in any costume she's put on, really. I think she's
Ty Lee.
Yeah, she's definitely dress upable, you know? She's really cute.
I think she has probably the biggest boobs.
In the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's kind of what I was alluding to.
Her little bikini outfit has stuck with me. Like, there's, like, an upward view in the beach at one point, and that just always, like, stuck with me being like, yep, there she is.
No, to me, she's kind of the most typical, like, anime girl, kind of, like, Sailor Moon-ish kind of anime-style girl in the show, I think. which...
Well, her innocent personality, quote-unquote, kind of leads to that, I agree, where it's like, you know, like, I don't know that I'm hot. I'm just hot. Go away from me, boys, you know, and, yeah.
Totally.
No, Macabre, we definitely noted that back when I made the iTunes incentive that Karen would be in a busty bikini and balance gymnastically on top of the volleyball net, a la Ty Lee, because I found that just to be so ridiculous, that whole Ty Lee stuff in that in the beach episode, so...
Anyway, another fun thing that we've been looking at for a while in our group that we're just going to talk about now is someone's artwork of the Avatar The Last Airbender characters as the star signs, and most of them are really appropriate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to quickly read through what everyone is in the Avatar world, and then we'll go through and talk about ours and whether it fits for us. So we've got, it kind of fits well because, you know, four elements, the star signs, like fire sign, water sign, and obviously everyone here fits that in the show. So we've got Iroh is Aries, the first fire sign. Toph is Taurus, the first earth sign. Gemini is Upper and Momo, and that's an air sign. Cancer is Sokka, and that's a water sign, and then Leo is Zuko, obviously fire. Virgo is Suki, earth sign. Libra is Monk Gyatso, air sign as well. Scorpio is Katara, water. Sagittarius is Azula, fire sign. Capricorn is Haru, earth sign. Aquarius is Aang, air sign. That's my favorite. Aang is such an Aquarius. And Pisces is Yue, which is water sign. So... it's a really nice art, like showing the characters as the signs as well.
How cute is Zuko with his little pose?
They're all cute. They're all good. It's really nicely done. But we've been talking a while about, you know, what fits for us and stuff. So I'm a Taurus, like Toph. And I think that is, like, that's an okay, like, I get that. Like, I think that's a good one. So, Mitch, what one are you?
Well, I have one in common with someone else on this podcast. I am a Cancer, which is Sokka, and I find that to be fairly appropriate because I think that him and I are both very, I guess tangential is the way to put it.
I don't know about tangential, but I think that Sokka is a good fit for Cancer, and I think that I can see that with you, but Michal, you think that's not such a good fit.
No. I mean, maybe we're both smart, but other than that, I love Sokka, but I have never particularly, I don't know, meat and sarcasm maybe, but like, you know, not like, I also don't consider myself a water sign, as we'll talk about later. I mean, I don't really believe in any of this stuff, but you know, whatever. I'm also like, really? Like, I mean, I love you, Mitch, but we don't have a lot in common.
Yeah. Personality wise. Yeah, I mean, it all goes down to how much you believe in star signs, right. And if you believe in, like, your avatar element more than you believe in your star sign and stuff like that, which Mikhail clearly does. But, yeah, Caitlin, how about you?
I am also a Taurus, so that makes me
wow.
Toph, and I think that has nothing to do with my personality, so... Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well, we'll get to the more important...
Where's the boulder here, really?
Hey, who is everyone else, though?
Pardon?
Who is everyone else?
I'm pretty sure that Ariana is a Scorpio. A Sagittarius. I'm pretty sure she got Azula.
That's good.
And I think Karen is... No, I think Karen is a Scorpio. Karen is, like, November, October... Wait.
Oh, Katara? Yeah, I could see Karen.
Yeah, I can't remember. We've certainly talked about this before.
No, I'm looking at it now. Ariana is Azula.
Yeah.
Aaron is Katara. Brittany is Zuko.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Mm. I've never met Brittany, so I don't know.
Oh, no, that's good because they have so many, like, similar qualities, but, like, Ariana is, like, a more extreme version of me. So that's actually really good. Like, yeah, I actually really like that.
Donya is Appa and Momo.
Oh, no, that's good.
That's also good because she doesn't know how to be, like, mean. So, like, yeah. Like, she's the fluffiest.
Oh, she's the fluffiest, yes.
But she's probably plotting to kill us all secretly.
Dun, dun, dun.
And yeah, no, most of them are really good. I really liked this. It was fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I just like seriously, if you told me like, hey, which Avatar character would you be most like? I would never say Sokka.
I would never pick Toph. So
no. I would way more pick Toph, maybe just because I like Toph. But I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I would pick Sokka for me before Toph.
well. Star signs, schmar signs. Let's talk about bending. This is much more important. We did a quiz which was done by Nickelodeon. What element would you bend? And spoiler alert, if you do this quiz, it's pretty much based in like the Korra website. So it's like images from Legend of Korra, not from first.
There is one pretty major spoiler for season 2 in there, actually.
Like, oh, even for season 4, I'd say.
Well, I would say even just characters, picture, but... like just like, oh yeah, around. There's like someone who you don't know is bad.
Right.
I mean, I don't actually know how you take this quiz if you don't like, because it's important. Like you don't know who Unalaq is or what that means, you know?
Yeah. But, regardless, it was a quiz for, you know, what bending, you know, what element you are and things like that. And I'm not going to lie, it was, if you know the show, it was pretty easy to like guide your answer if you wanted to get a particular one. But it was only seven. Yeah, it's not Pottermore. Can I just say the Korra website when they did launch it, where you could go through and get information, like the Pottermore-esque aspect of it, and even the graphics was really, really beautiful. And I don't know how much of it is still up, like if it's still all there, but it was such a nice sight. But anyway, we did the quiz, and I got firebending because I always get that pretty much in all quizzes because I very strongly identify with the fire bending stuff that was in the chakras. And basically, I know in this world that is my element for better or worse. But how did everyone else do on this quiz? Mitch, how did you go?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, as much as I could relate to Sokka in his sarcasm, I would definitely relate more to Aang's evasiveness in his airbending. So if I was to be associated with the type of bending, I wouldn't put myself in any other format. I mean, water's close, but I mean, those elements are close. So, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know. Am I the Gryffindor or the Ravenclaw, right? Or I'm the Hermione Granger of the airbenders.
Oh, God. And so you got air in the quiz, did you, as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that air is a good fit for you. Yeah. Caitlin, how about you?
I also got air, and I've always figured I would either be air or water, so it rang true for me as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a good fit for you as well, air. And Mikhail, you had some anger or something like that about your bending element.
No, I was glad. I got firebending. I mean, I was angry because as a firebender, I'm usually angry, but...
Yeah.
but I wasn't specifically angry at the thing. I mean... Yeah, I mean, my favorite character is Mei, and she's she's Fire Nation, and I don't know, like, I've never, like, identified with, like, water, and like, no, just go with the flow, whatever, I'm like, no, I'll just
stuff
burn
riles
through the
flow. You up easily.
It does a little bit, yeah, I have unrivaled intensity and power, according to this. I'm not good. Spontaneous, it says I should be spontaneous, as firebenders are the only benders able to generate an element independently, and if anyone has seen my Comic-Con schedules, you will know that I am not spontaneous.
Oh, no, you're not. It is very planned.
It's always a call schedule.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Like, Team McCall schedule, indeed.
Maybe I am more like Sokka than I thought. Maybe I am more like
Sokka. I think that's good. I think that, you know, with that kind of scheduling power... and the power of fire, that you could probably take over the world. So that's
great.
I know. Yeah. You could be the next
like,
Azula.
Finally, someone says it.
Just if Azula, like, she had that all down pat, you know? Like, she just was loved to think a bit more. Maybe she wouldn't have been as evil in the first place. She, like, really would have taken over the world easily. Done. It's sad. Like, I wanted her to take over the world in an evil way, in a certain facet. Isn't that bad? That should be bad.
Yes, it's bad. And she still has time. I mean, she might. You never know.
Well, yeah, she currently is a question mark in the comics, so.
She does, honestly. So, I mean, we don't even know. So, like, yeah, that's weird. Okay, well, yeah, let's stay tuned.
So the next point we have here is any fun facts about the series that we haven't talked about yet. I don't happen to know many facts. I mean, I have the art book, which I really love, and I love the discussions in there and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff about how they, like, based each bending style on a particular martial art and all of that, but I don't know any facts. Does anyone know any fun facts about the series? Mitch, you know things.
Oh, Michal, we must know facts out the butt. And Caitlin, too, from September. Sets back.
Oh, nothing yeah. Out the butt.
Out the butt.
Leave me out of that.
No, nothing of the butt.
But no butt facts.
We must know facts. Like, what's a fact that we learned? You know what comes to mind? I think that interview you did with Jeremy Zuckerman, Michal, of his instruments interested me a lot of the types of things he uses for instruments. Like, they weren't like instruments, sometimes they were like things. Am I wrong on that?
I maybe,
like, I'm thinking, like,
I mean, I know they definitely use like a lot of like actual Chinese instruments. Like, they have right. a guy who like does like whatever drum is, you know, really whatever, and there's like a real like sugihon type thing, and yeah.
Oh, I have a good fact. There was a different pilot, and I think you can read like synopsis. You might be able to.
You can see it if somebody's loaded it on has put it online. If anybody was wondering why that dragon from like that water dragon thing from whatever episode that is, the one where the girl is born.
Hope.
yeah, where Hope is born. I think that is actually. I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure that is actually from the first like pilot,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it looks like kind of weird and not like of the like the colors are weird and it doesn't really look like series. So it was actually created for the pilot, and the kid who does Aang is a different voice.
Yeah, he's also a famous kid actor though.
Voice was different.
He's not because this is the Finding Nemo kid. Am I wrong? Like the one that maybe that was the Finding Nemo kid.
That I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that either or was the Finding was Nemo. I'd check up on that. I know, but I thought that was really just wild. I know. Yeah, and I mean, other than that, I think we've pretty much hit them like as we've gone along. Like, there's cute ones every once in a while, and Emperor Island Players. There are a lot of fun voice actors that came in that we discussed in that episode. I still can't get over the fact that Dante Visco's brother was Zuko, and that's the best. That's cute, because it's just like, hey bro, you want to come by and record for me a bit? Talk about
like
your honor.
They did that episode of Buffy, and they did the when there was the bad Xander and the nice Xander, and it's Nicholas Brendan's identical twin brother doing it, which was fun. But yeah,
and I don't know if we've covered this production note of Korra quite yet, but I remember it. Michal, I think this will strike a note with conversations you and I have had in the past, maybe even an article we wrote for Septbender, maybe, that Korra was a hard sell for Nickelodeon in that it was a girl as the leader of the show, as the hero of the show, and that wouldn't sell as well for boys, quote-unquote, and that was a big deal to get that to happen. So it's cool that we have Korra as she is, as the creators wanted her to be, because that was a struggle, that was a fight to get her on TV in the ways that we got her.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a fight, as I understand it. There was, like, a moment where Nickelodeon went, really? Like, a girl? You know, and they were like, yeah, a girl. Nickelodeon the next day was like, okay, girl.
Hey, I guess.
Which is, you know, certainly bad enough. I mean, I don't think they were, you know, it was like, we will not make this show unless you have a male, you know. But yeah, I mean, it is, yeah. I think, you know, the whole Nickelodeon thing is very interesting because it has been, like, Mike and Brian have kind of simultaneously expressed, like, a lot of appreciation for Nick, because I do think they had quite a bit of creative freedom in what they did. But at the same time, like, there's a ton of frustration, you know, I think the fans, I don't know if they're more frustrated than Mike and Brian, but we're definitely, like, more indignant because of, like, you know, the scheduling changes and like the stuff that didn't really happen for Avatar as much, but that was a major part of the experience of watching Korra live.
Totally.
And medium shifts and budget cuts and a lot of just not fun stuff.
Korra was stressful. Like, more stressful than Atla was in Syndication. Like, Korra was so hard to just, like... To like Korra in Syndication was just... I was, like, jittering over here, like, when's it gonna be on TV? And then it would show up, like, in a week's advance, and I'd be like, oh my god! You know, it was weird. It was strange.
Yeah, they kept releasing episodes, like, in advance online of it airing on TV, and it was very, like, I don't even...
Because eventually they just said that they were only airing them online, and then TV was kind of secondary. So, yeah, they stopped airing on TV for all intents and purposes. I just thought of one more note.
In the middle of the season, in the middle of season three, they just switched.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I got a text from somebody the first night of Comic-Con, and she was like, they took it off the air, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, still jet lagged, like, in the middle of the floor. I think I was on the Marvel line wanting to kill myself, and it was, you know, it was, watching Korra was very, very stressful in that respect. And if Mike and Brian ever sign again with Nickelodeon, I will be heartily surprised. I will be very
I'll be
surprised.
Sad. I'll be sad if they have to, because that's how their next up-and-coming show, which they've announced that they're working on, is through Nickelodeon, and that's the only way.
They said they were working on a show?
Yeah, I saw a post. I will find it for everyone, and I'll have Brittany Tumblr it out. Totally found this, like, on Twitter, of people tweeting out, like, oh my god, there's a new show, here's the evidence of such, and I was like, ah, that's actually from the source. That's really cool. So, yeah, I'm surprised you didn't hear about that yet, McCall.
I missed that.
It was, like, Avatar Central or someone that tweeted it out, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, so I'll make sure that that's, like, 100% legit. Check the Tumblr, guys, because...
I'm looking at Brian's Tumblr now. By the way, we missed the 100th... The 100th? What the hell? The 10-year anniversary. I feel bad. I would have written something. Actually, I probably wouldn't have, because I'm hella busy. But it was just recently the 10-year... anniversary of the premiere of Avatar, which is crazy, guys.
Aww.
Like, 10 so years. Nice. What the heck?
It feels like it's longer to me. It feels like it's been, like, 20.
Maybe.
No.
Mitch, have you even been alive 20 what? Years?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I feel like I've grown up with this show from birth. Like, I feel like it's always been around.
God.
I know.
So, the next point on the list is feel free to discuss how much we hate the movie. I'm going to say that we are not going to do that, and we're all just going to say that don't watch the movie, basically.
Natalie,
that
I had something important to say here, though. Do you remember? I said here's my unpopular opinion. I don't hate the movie. I don't like it, but I don't hate it. I really don't hate
wrong.
It. I don't hate it.
The dress is black and blue. You're wrong.
I just love how the bending looks. I get so enamored with, like...
I think the special effects, yeah, like, I remember, like, they look quite good. But it's, like, I just can't get past the blatant racism. I just can't.
I know. It's pretty disturbing.
I can't. It starts and stops there. Like,
and the names suck. The fact that the names are Aang and Sokka, just, I never will recover from that. That's, it's just, it loses all of its, like, you know, validation of existence in not knowing the pronunciation of a very, you know, honored character in pop culture to be known as Aang, not Ung.
It's not like it's a book adaptation where it's only been seen written.
Hermione or Hermione, right? Yeah, it's like, you know, Aang. You heard that Aang all the time. Yeah, it just, that was silly. That was so stupid. And it's just funny, too, looking back, because I can never get over the fact that a Twilight actor was Sokka, that Jasper Twilight was Sokka, because he shouldn't be Sokka. He's the opposite of Sokka. He's not funny. He just,
you know what he said? You know what that actor said?
And what?
I'm like, Jackson Rathbone.
Yeah. He said, like, somebody asked him about it, I think, before they started filming, and he was like, yeah, I think it's the type of thing where I'll have to, like, go into a tanning booth for a while. And it's like, wow.
Oh my god.
Now,
go into a tanning booth?
To be fair, awareness has grown a lot about this in the years. I feel like this movie and its horrors were something of a seminal moment, and maybe he feels differently now. I will put that out there. But after that, I was just like, are you kidding me? You're in Twilight and you're saying that?
I feel like they wouldn't have got away with this now. Like, they wouldn't... Like, if they tried to make a movie adaptation now... That this wouldn't have happened, if you know what I mean.
I agree.
Like, that it would be maybe a bit less racist. But...
Yeah, I just think that, at least American society would be a little bit more cultured and aware to know that...
What, are you kidding me? Scarlett Johansson is playing a Japanese person.
I did think that. Just as I was saying that, I was...
Oh, really? What's this? I haven't heard.
Yeah. Oh, she's playing... Gone.
She's starring in the Ghost in the Shell. I don't know the character's name.
But... yeah, and the character is actually a Japanese, like, native, like,
right.
It's not just like, oh, anime where they've drawn people with blue hair and pink hair, and it could be anything. it's a Japanese character. Oh.
Her name is Motoko. Yeah. Like, she's Japanese. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, let's move on. The newbies are going to discuss their experience of the movie at length, so good LOL. Luck to them.
And Asif Mansi as Admiral Zhao.
Pardon?
And Asif Mandvi as Admiral Zhao, and I kept waiting for him to throw it back to Jon Stewart for the entire movie.
Can we just, it's just, like, look, all I'm going to say is, like, Aang is very, in the show, let's just... be very blunt. In the show, the Southern Water Tribe are very clearly based on, like, Inuit culture, and they have dark skin. Aang is very clearly based on an Asian culture, either an Eastern Asian or a kind of Tibetan culture. There are a few characters in the show that would definitely count as, like, passing as, like, a white body type. But not many.
I actually think Aang is the closest that the show comes to looking white. I mean, he has blue eyes. He is very fair. Yeah. I guess Ty Lee
and Aang, I think both are white, like, passing. And the Fire Nation as a whole are pretty Asian, Eastern Asian. And the movie is like, everyone is going to be white except the bad guy Fire Nation. And it's just like, we're just going to cast some generically non-white people to play the Fire Nation. And it's just like, I just want to die. I can't. But anyway, let's move on from that to the fantastic article that Ariana did about our highlights of the show. So does anyone quickly want to say something about any of those before we go into some feedback for the episode?
The picture that Brittany drew of the Lazy Avatar
Oh my god, vessel. Did she actually draw that?
She, like, actually, herself? It's in a frame in my house.
I can't believe she did that.
Yes, Avatar Mitch's Lazy Taxi. Yes, Wi-Fi available. I have that picture hanging up in my, like, room. it was part of, like, my secret Santa gift that she gave me for Hypeable this year, and she gave me the best stuff. And it's funny how much it ended up relating to, like, rewatchable. And then this was one of them. She was like, I'm not that good of a drawer. I just traced it. And I was like, this is amazing. It's really good. It is. Yeah. Yeah. I was very impressed by that. So I'm glad that that made the article. That was cute.
Yeah. So basically, if anyone wants to go read the article on Hyperbole about our best moments from, you know, Rewatchable's best moments from watching Avatar The Last Airbender, we're talking about our ridiculous synopsis, our incentives for Karen,
I'm so proud of Dadsuki. I consider Dadsuki. This an achievement.
Oh my god, let's talk. I think all of us can agree that
Dadsuki. I almost believed Dadsuki. Like, you almost. Achievement.
I will be happy about the boulder making the list.
And obviously Caitlin and the boulder. I love it. Can we have a final boulder goodbye? Like, is that something you could sort of prepare for us for the end of the episode?
Because I can do my best.
We need that. I wasn't there for this. Dadsuki,
go ahead. No, yeah, I want to hear more Dadsuki.
I kept going off the air every week. I kept being like, but guys, do they know this is a joke? Like, I kept being like, do they really think that she's dead? And I kept...
The reason I don't feel bad about it is because, like, the show, like, really doesn't, like, pretend that it wasn't, like, a really bad situation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that could have happened, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that final shot when Azula and Suki are fighting, like, implies someone died. Because, like, the way they collide and it goes to, like, that special, like, sketch art makes it look like this is too graphic for us to show you. Something bad's about to happen. And that's what I almost bought, that McCall
and then
Azula
comes back in their clothes. I mean, that's like, hey, they're dead, you know?
Yeah, right. That's like, we shot them and we took their army uniforms. Like, yeah. I know. It's like, I've got to give a shout out to Ariana's Ode to Katara, where she wrote that essay about loving Katara as a fake username. I really appreciated that. That was great. And there was just a lot of other great moments that it's a really fun article, and it made me feel very good to read it. It was heaps and heaps of fun to do this show. So, yeah. Very quickly, is everyone excited to do Korra, or are you stressed? Because as we've just discussed, apparently liking Korra is stressful.
Are we excited?
I've already podcasted Korra, so like,
pardon?
I've already podcasted Korra, so I guess maybe I'll for someone else.
What was
I have a podcast outside. Yeah, sorry, I cheated on you guys.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
No, this is the first I've even heard of this. I thought, what's this? I have to.
Is this
going to
be like repetitive for you and like boring? Like, are you going to like?
I might actually bow out and just like laugh at you guys doing it. But we'll see.
Fair enough.
No, I haven't made a decision yet. I can't think of anything outside of school right now. So
no, fair enough.
What's it called?
Shield or my life? Oh, it's called Vassals of Kingsgrave. If anyone wants to find it, there's a lot of swearing.
I take it it's not specifically for Korra, about all different stuff.
Yeah, I'm part of this like podcasting community, and one of the things we did was The Legend of Korra.
Oh, cool.
Oh, from like book one to book four, all the way.
About like halfway through book one, we were like, oh, we should do this, and then it kind of grew from there. It's cool. It's a good community. Again, I'm proud to be a part of it.
It's not like I don't follow you on Twitter or something. Like, I would have thought that I'd heard of this by now. I'm so shocked.
Maybe she doesn't want to tell Hypervolt that she's cheating on them. So just keep them on the table. Maybe she's got a separate Twitter for all of that. Anyway, Mitch, how about you? I assume you haven't had, like, a secret Korra podcast as well. So.
Oh, no, I'm too loud and proud to not have said anything. Yeah, I would have been all about that. Base. I had to, sorry. I am stressed. I'm really stressed because I want everyone to like it as much as they liked Atla, but I don't know if they're going to. But I shouldn't mar any newbies listening to the show.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that.
Oops, I said it. I feel like they need to go in with a very open mind that they're not going to have the same show to enjoy it, because if you're looking for the same art style, the same voice acting style, the same sounds, like, everything is uprooted and brought into, with the same universe, a different subset
future.
Of
like
that universe.
It's futuristic for the show in every possible
way.
It almost
feels
really
like what
cool
you would imagine, in a good way, a really good fan rendition of what they would want the show to go into. So that's a good thing, in meaning that it's faithful to where the series was heading. But it's bound to be so much just of a different mode than Avatar, The Last Airbender, was. So just I don't know, like, hold your tongue, I guess, newbies, for at least a good four episodes until you really get into the drama of season one.
Yeah.
Because then you'll really feel why it was such a big deal when season one happened. Because that really, I think, sold it for a lot of people who were very iffy about what was going on in this new series. Because there's a very deep drama that is very akin to what Atla did, if I had to compare the two series at all. And that one really, it really, it gets you. It's a very, they do a great job of making you feel emotional about the bad guys and the good guys and the everyone guys.
It feels so different in a lot of ways. And I get what you mean, that like people who are expecting like Atla part two, it's not that.
No.
Like, it's not that at all. And it's, I think it's really, really, really well done. But it is very different. And even to someone who's like a big fan of Atla, it was quite jarring. But once you get into it, like, because you do want, like, oh my God, I'm so happy that this is happening, because it's like, I've loved that show, and now this one's like, I was at the Comic-Con panel when they launched Korra, like the 2011 one, when they first launched like the concept art and stuff. So far, yeah, it was really good. But
I didn't know you'd been to Comic-Con before. That's awesome.
Yeah, I went into, before I was with Hyperbole, I went as a fan, like, in 2011. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am, especially, like, how everything got towards the end, and it was just, but yeah, I don't know. Caitlin, how about you? Did you end up watching all of Korra as well, like, while it was airing?
Of course.
Yeah, so, do you want to do this?
I'm insulted you would think otherwise.
Well, I don't know. Do you think this is going to be good? I mean, it's your call about whether we did the show or not, and you made the call to do it, so.
I did make the call to do it, so.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I have only watched it once straight
through.
Yeah,
me too.
So I'm excited to do my first rewatch of it with it, knowing how it ends now.
I might rewatch it while you guys are doing Freaks and Geeks again. I might like binge it and then rewatch again while we're doing the podcast. We'll see. But I'm excited. Yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Going to have some new perspective.
Yeah. Feedback, Mitch, why have you put this horrible meme piece first? Or who put that
I
in?
Know, I was thinking about this, like, and I was like, I'm going to stick with this decision for a very specific reason.
Fine, okay, because, let's go.
Because look at that picture that I put there. You see?
Because you got to put a picture. Okay,
put a picture, we'll get to it. So, yeah, go ahead and read it, and we'll get to
why
that.
Why don't you read it?
All right.
It's fine. You
all right, so it. This comes from Steven. Steven is very... just upset. Steven's upset. I'm not going to make fun of you, Steven. I'm really not. I promise. I understand.
Yeah, I'm only laughing because I feel awkward. I'm not laughing at you, Steven.
No, I get it. It's kind of an awkward situation. I guess I'm getting the elephant out of the room quickly. Bloodbending can only be used during a full moon. Come on. You all are super fans, right? Ozai is just copying Sozin, and I assumed, and burning down everything. He came up with the idea when Zuko spoke out in the war meeting. Good catch. And Zutara is terrible. It really brought down the whole podcast as a whole. That's the first time I've heard that. I don't want to be too critical, but it felt like some of you weren't even paying attention. I don't understand that.
No, we paid attention. The dress is black and blue.
The dress is black and blue, or it's white and gold. Seriously. I wish you the best.
It is not white and gold.
I wish you the best for the next...
This is how wars start.
This is how wars start.
I saw this hilarious tweet from someone who's like, is this how racism started?
For real, I don't know. It's seriously how wars start, because it's instead of people being like, why do we see this differently? They're just screaming about being right, and I can't handle it.
I know. But here, no, they did a good job of cleaning it up and making it a nice ending when they just wrote, I wish you the best for the next series you watch. That was kind of like, rewatchable's not for me, I don't like the shipping, bye. And then I just wrote a little, I put a little image that was just a whoa there, cowboy. Because in the beginning it feels attacking, and then it just slows down to this goodbye, you know? And
I want to disagree with him. Like, if he's criticizing us for saying bloodbending can only be used during a full moon.
Oh yeah, that's not true.
That might be true for Hama, but isn't Katara meant to be this, like, magic waterbender that can do everything all the time? Like,
no, yes. I think... No. I'm pretty sure that Katara can only waterbend, because that's a thing in Korra. Like, that's a thing in Korra. And it's like a what? Oh my god thing in Korra that happens. If you haven't watched Korra, just forget.
I don't want to spoil that. Korra by saying anything more about this, McCall, but I still feel like Korra debunks this. I really
right,
do.
That means-
not, but Katara only waterbend, only bloodbends at the full moon. Like, that is the rule through Avatar.
She during the Southern Raiders.
Yeah, right. Was that the full moon?
Probably.
I don't know. They didn't show it. I don't remember, like, a
That's
full
the
moon.
Thing. They didn't show it. So maybe they did in the background, but, like, they
but,
didn't
like,
say
they don't
it.
Have
so
to
I don't
show
remember.
It necessarily. It could just be like, oh, she's waterbending, so it's the full
well,
moon.
Well, Ariana's theory was that she was. Damn it. Ariana's theory was that she was on her period, and that it was stronger when she was on her period. And I was like, okay, me, I can work with that, I guess. But you know,
that's different.
That gives bloodbending a whole new meaning.
Oh no!
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, that was next... just the elephant. I promise. There's good.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Mikhail, do you want to do the next comment?
Sure, Luke. Of the unpronounceable name, says, first of all, congratulations on finishing it all. I have been thoroughly enjoying this journey. Beautiful insights of people that have never seen the beautiful show, and of people that did. Thank you. That is a lovely thing to say. I think it is only fitting that you finished it in the week that Avatar The Last Airbender celebrated its 10th birthday. Yay, the music, the track team was mentioned. I have always found The Last Agni Kai so impressive. Yes, it is extremely colossally impressive. It sounds to me like they put all the pain and destruction that the relationship of Zuko and Azula was in that piece of music/art. It was possibly the best scene of the entire show, also because of the imagination. I think Aang would have been corrupted and destroyed if his own spirit would have been bendable by Ozai. Lion Turtle was mentioned in season 2 in the library. That's why they had to go there. I don't know if that's why they had to go there, but that definitely, like, is there and like
it, yeah Lion Turtle is mentioned like, before no, at some thing. Point yeah
I mean I still think it's like slightly something of a deus ex machina because like we've never heard that they do anything, you know. I mean, they not that they would have had to like spell it out, but like it's just kind of like, oh, this creature exists, so I don't think it fully negates the like this came out of absolutely nowhere. But Korra actually does a lot.
Oh yeah, so many lion turtles. Yeah,
well,
all of the lion turtles.
So many, like, just the whole concept of the finale is kind of extend. Like it adds a lot more depth to it. Okay, Boomy is great. Another one is awful.
Meaning, like another Boomy.
like there being two boomies?
No comment.
Okay. If that's what I think it means, I don't know about that. But
Brittany
anyway,
was excited because she mentioned, I'm really excited because I know there's someone named Boomy on the next episode of Atla.
Well, yeah, okay.
Or next enough. Series. So that's the
Carry
most
on.
I can say. No comment.
Carry on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't think the world can handle that. I don't think their lives crossed over, so that's good. I am a sucker for classic love stories, and I am still okay with Katang. I cannot imagine Aang with anyone else, so Katara is fine. That's true. I can't imagine Aang with anyone else.
No.
Yeah, personally, I agree. And now on to
Can't he just be celibate? Like, it's not like he has to have a baby in order for the Avatar cycle to continue.
But he does to have the airbending.
Oh, I suppose.
So that's kind of like, yeah, he's in a rock and a hard place there.
Yeah, he has to breed.
Not genetic, but it's totally genetic.
Yeah.
And now on to Korra. I'll give F and G a chance. Who are F and G? Fred and George?
Freaks and Geeks. It took me like 5 minutes to work that out as well. And I'm like, Fred and George. Yeah.
That should be obvious, actually. I'll give Freaks and Geeks a chance. I'm not, personally. Doubt it will be as good as Korra or Avatar, but that is quite a high standard. But I know people love it. I watched like the first episode a couple of years ago, and I was like, okay, like I get why people like this, but it's not for me.
I'm mad at James Franco right now, so I can't watch it.
You're still mad at James Franco. You've been mad at James Franco for like a year.
Yeah, he's turned into a dick. Anyway, let's go on.
The Oscars. I was like,
yeah.
Smart, like intelligent guy. Who, like,
yeah, I thought he was this cool, progressive, like, really amazing guy, and then he just turned into this schmuck. Like, I don't understand what happened.
Well, now I'm not going to be able to watch Freaks and Geeks in the same light, but that's okay. I'd rather know.
No, it's fine. Just watch it. It's fine. Anyway, carry on.
And congratulations, and I'm thankful to have been able to follow along. Two things. Comics are great, obviously, but there is a really funny abridged series that covers the first season. Yes. 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 That is called series, and you should definitely look that up, and do not drink while you are, because that is freaking hilarious.
What's it called? You cut out. What? Is it called Avatar the Abridged Series?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Apparently,
is this an official thing, like a comic, or is this like a fan creation?
It's a fan that like super cut a lot of the episodes, and like,
oh god.
Like, Iroh is, like, this, like, Jewish guy who's always on about his matzo ball soup, and, like, he also, like, does, I think, all the voices. It is hilarious. Hilarious. I didn't catch when the overview episode will be on. Well, it's on now.
You're right now. Hello.
Like, hot reception. But he won't know until he's listening to this. Would love to hear it's the airwaves again. Hi. Greetings from Holland, with apologies for the long comment. That's okay. It's the last episode. We forgive you.
I always appreciate you, Luke. You always have a lot of insightful stuff to say, and I like saying your name because I get to really exaggerate the ooh.
Okay, I'm going to read these couple of tweets, and then we'll go on to the last email thing, I think. K88K says, thanks for answering my questions. I already ordered the graphic novels. Can't wait till I get here. They're really good. I actually have to order the third set, the Drift, I think. Rift. I haven't not... Pardon? The Rift?
Yeah.
I have not got that one yet. Is it good? I need it.
I haven't read the third part, but I like the first two. They're all, they're all different, and they all kind of work on their own. Like, they all accomplish different things. And plus, like, Jean Luen Yang is, like, a rock star in comics, so... Like, I was really annoyed because some of the fandom like didn't like the first one and were complaining, and I was like, guys, this guy has won like mega awards. Like, we are very, very lucky that he is the one who is writing this.
Totally. You know?
Yeah, I think they're really amazing, but the other series, but yeah. The other tweet we had is from Joe Ludwigson, Rain Phelan on Twitter. Thought you all might appreciate this. It's a mug that she says, I must have it. It's a mug of Iroh, a graphic of Iroh saying delectable tea or deadly poison. And it's quite great.
Jade flower, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's quite great. It's a cute little
what a niche
fan-made mug, which we can probably link out. And then, Caitlin, do you want to take the last email comment?
Sure. This is from Anheli. I'm sure I butchered that. Dear Rewatchable, I have really enjoyed doing the Atla rewatch with you all. During the rewatch, I traveled to India twice. I wanted to thank you for keeping me occupied while I suffered through all the jet lag and a long plane flight. I live in the U.S., so the flight time is around 16 hours, not counting layovers.
Oh my god.
Oh, you're kidding! You must have re-listened to, like, the same episode of Rewatchable 5 times on each plane ride.
That sounds horrible, and you have our sympathies.
But you got to go to India, so.
Also true.
Yeah.
I wanted to let you know about my thoughts on the show's time span. Apparently this was a question. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have thought the series takes place in less than 1 year, with each book taking place in a different season. Water equals winter, earth equals spring, fire equals summer. The eclipse and invasion occurs in midsummer, when the comet is at the very end of summer, if not the last day of summer. I like my last day of summer thing, because then everything that happens after the comet, the coronation, the gang at Ba Sing Se, is in the fall, the season of change. Zuko and Aang's conversation before the coronation supports this. They talk about how a year ago Zuko was searching for Aang and Aang was still in the ice. That would have been the previous fall before Katara and Sokka found Aang in the ice. I think
that fits pretty perfectly. Yeah, I think that's nice.
That's very sage of them to realize that fall was the age of change for the Azula fight, you know, and the coronation almost happening then. I like that. That's
very fitting.
Yeah, good job. I liked what you came up there. That must have had a lot of thought go into it.
Yeah, I like that. I think that that's a really good fitting ending. And now is the season of change for us, so we must leave you for the last time. And you can hear from the newbies about their thoughts about the show and the movie, which, sorry, that they had to actually watch it.
So. No, but we actually have to tell them what happened in the group, though, because, like...
They're going to retalk everything.
What was it, Karen or what, who was like, okay, so we're going to have, like, a thing on the movies, and, like, the four of us were like, no, we're not.
We're not doing that.
Maybe it was just me, but I was like, there's actually no way I'm watching this movie. I'm just not doing it. And like, you know.
I was the only one that said.
I still want my hour and a half back from the first time I watched it. So I'm not giving up any more time to it.
So what we decided is that we would talk about not watching the movie, and then the newbies could watch the movie, because they have to, now that they're fans of the show, they should have to suffer through that at least once.
To be initiated properly.
Yeah. And I was really worried that Karen was going to like it, because she'd seen it before without the context of the show, and Karen likes terrible, like really bad movies, and she loved it, and she was like, oh, so good, and I was just like, no.
Yeah, she loves Mortal Kombat, I'll never forgive her for
that. You're not allowed to like it, and now she's watched it again for the purpose of doing this podcast, and now she hates it, so it's okay, like everything is fine. But I was worried that she was actually going to keep liking it, and I was just going to be like, mm-mm. But anyway, we'll go, and they can talk about that. Maybe some of them liked it, who knows? I don't think Brittany did, from what I saw, but hope that's fun for everyone. So for the last time, I've been Natalie.
And I'm Mitch.
I'm the Boulder.
Ah! Yay!
And I'm Michal.
Bye.
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 Hi, welcome to the second part of this episode, where I'm going to be joining our newbies for Rewatchable for Avatar, where we all watched the last Airbender movie, or at least I think most of us watched the entire movie, or maybe not. But it's me. Hi, I'm Danya, and I'm joined by Karen, Ariana, and Brittany. So say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. So, the movie. We've kind of been, for anyone who hadn't seen it prior to this, I think a few of the superfans had, like, been going on about how terrible it was. But did you guys expect it to be that bad?
I had to stop it 2 minutes in, and then it took me 5 hours to go back to it. Like, it also didn't help that it came out the same, like, I had to watch it the same weekend that House of Cards came out, but also it was just horrible. It was so bad. I had to rewatch the part where Katara says Sokka's name the first time, like, at least 5 or 7 times, because I thought that she was saying Zuko instead of, like, what does she say, like, Sokka or whatever she said?
Sokka. It's like Super Sokka. Yeah. Yeah, the names are really, really unfortunate in the movie because it's, oh, I mean, it's not like they had an entire series to, like, learn the names from or anything. It's not like they have
It didn't make any sense because I thought at first I was like, okay, they're trying to take away, like the hard vowels, like, a, like instead of ang, they're making it Ong, so maybe they're trying to be, like, more authentic or whatever, but then, like, Sokka, they turned into Soka, so I don't even understand what the point was.
It was a mess. It's just a mess. The whole thing is terrible. I'm not even sure it has a redeeming feature. It took me 3 sittings to get through the movie this time round. The first time round I watched it, I was at university and I was maybe a little bit drunk at the time. So it was easier to get through in one sitting. I was really missing the hard liquor for this one. So I managed to get through it in 3 sittings. One of those sittings was on my lunch break at work today. And a couple of people had, like, walked behind me and they noticed immediately what I was watching. And they were all like, why are you doing that to yourself?
I forgot that this came out, like, relatively recently. Well, like, 5 years ago. But that's still, like,
yeah.
Like, I was in college at the time and I thought that I was a lot younger. But I guess it came, like, a lot after the TV show.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I had seen the movie before I had ever watched the show, and I remembered liking the movie. I would like to apologize to everybody on the planet Earth for ever thinking that, because I'm still so mad at this movie, and I watched it like a day or two ago. And I definitely remembered parts of it, but the pronunciation killed me. Like, even in the beginning when Katara's like, the Avatar, and I'm like, it's Avatar, and they say it in the show. It's not like it's a book adaptation where you, you can't, like, you're not sure how it's pronounced. Like, you can literally hear it through 3 seasons of the show. Why are you getting this wrong? And other people pronounced it Avatar. Like, it wasn't even consistent throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. The other thing that's, like, infinitely hilarious for me is when we're introduced to Zuko. And he comes
he's
into
so
the, like,
awful.
I know, but he comes into the South Pole and he's like, I am Zuko, son of Fire Lord Ozai. Bring me all your elderly. But the ridiculous thing is that he gets them to bring out all of the elderly, and then they do nothing with them.
It's that's just the, like, ridiculous thing.
The whole thing's ridiculous, but you've got that. And then there's the bit with the earthbenders, like the giant group of earthbenders who are, like, doing their little earthbending dance. And then a rock just floats by.
I actually kind of liked that part.
That is, like, legitimately my favorite part of the movie, because I cry with laughter every single time I see that bit. But there's just so much. There was another bit where, like, Yue's like, we have to believe in what we believe in, so that they don't believe in things that they don't believe in. And I'm like, who even wrote this script? What the hell is going on?
We know exactly who wrote this script.
Like, when I first saw it in theaters with my brother and sister, we, like, hated it because I had only watched, like, a few episodes in the first season, but I knew that, like, it was terrible, right? Because just watching the pilot, it's like, this is horrible. Why isn't it funny? Why isn't it, like, it's terrible. But now watching it, I'm also like, but it's also a terrible movie just in and of itself. Like, there's so much, it does everything that they tell you not to do when making movies. Like, it does all this tell, not show. Like, all this stupid Katara voiceover where, it, like, instead of having plot, they're just like, Katara tells you what happened.
The other thing is, like, stuff like when when General Zhao is at the table and he's got Iroh and Zuko with him, and he's like, and now we have Zuko with us. If you don't remember about Zuko, he's a prince who has been banished by his father from the Fire Nation, and he's not allowed to wear these clothes because he's banished, but we'll let him wear them for now, like a child playing dress up. And I'm like, they're going, what the hell is going on? It just, it's so bad. The other thing is I completely forgot that the guy who plays General Zhao is also the guy from the internship, the one that's in charge of, like, the Google internship program. So when he first came on the screen, I was like, oh my god, all I'm hearing is, welcome to Google! That's it. That's all I hear.
He's also the guy in the proposal, the annoying one, who, like, throws a fit.
I've not seen that.
Oh, it's quite delightful.
Yeah. Can we talk about who Uncle Iroh is? Because this is very important to me.
Okay. Who is he?
He's Yinsen from Iron Man in Iron Man 3.
Yes, he is.
Oh, the guy in the cave?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he was kind of cool. I mean, he had like a nice vibe.
I hated him. I hated him as their adaptation of Uncle Iroh from the show. I liked him separately. I thought, like, they did capture his personality and everything, but I wanted him to be fat and old, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it made me irrationally angry.
He was way too young to be. I wanted him to be much older, even if he wasn't fat.
And when he came out, I was like, please don't say uncle. Please don't say uncle. And he didn't. And then he was like, my nephew. And I was like, oh, you ruined it. Why is he related? I was so hoping he wasn't related to him.
No, but by far the worst one is Sokka. He's so bad. Oh my god, like, how can he be such a terrible actor? He makes one face throughout the whole time, and it's like he's constipated. Like, it's so terrible.
I mean, aside from that, they didn't even get his personality right.
No.
Like, he wasn't funny. There was a few moments where he was, like, kind of silly, and he just looked ridiculous.
Yeah. He wasn't funny at all, and it made me so sad.
And they're the only white family in that whole tribe. It's like, down to Gran Gran.
Well, do you guys know why she was cast, or why they were cast?
I have no idea.
Do you know, Danya?
No. I kind of, at the time when they were casting for this movie, there was, like, massive backlash about who they were casting.
Well,
like, there's whole websites dedicated to it, and... Yeah, I think
she
it's called,
was
like,
cast.
Is it race? Is the thing race bending?
Well, the reason that it was cast the way it was is because Katara. Because I looked this up because I was so angry. The girl who plays Katara is Nicola Peltz, and she, the producer of the movie, like, forced them to use her because his friend, this billionaire named what's his name? Let me find him. He's like a total tycoon billionaire. Is her father.
Jokes on them, because it's the worst movie ever.
Nelson Peltz. He's a billionaire businessman and philanthropist. But that's why they had to use her. And I actually thought she wasn't bad. But then because they got her, they needed somebody who looked like her, which Jackson Rathbone looks freakishly like her. So that's why they got him.
There is still a website. It's called racebending.com. And if I remember correctly, when this first came around, it was all dedicated to the whitewashing of this movie. And now it's all set up to, like, address people basically whitewashing adaptions and stuff. And the lack of diversity in media. It's a really, really interesting website. So if you ever get a chance to check it out, do check it out. Because if I remember correctly, that's where it came from, is when this movie came out. I'm trying to find the original post. But, yeah.
I think what makes me the angriest about this movie, and Danya, I told you a little bit about this, was that I feel like it had a lot of potential. Because visually... they took some scenes right out of the series, and the entire, like, setting and stuff was so gorgeous, and the cinematography was really beautiful, and they just ruined it with, you know, the terrible acting and the horrible dialogue and all of these things that they decided to change for whatever reason.
And I feel like if this had maybe been made by somebody else, or they'd taken a little more time to get it done properly, it could have been a really good movie, because they did pull some things right out of the series. Like, I really actually liked the part with the blue spirit, because it brought me right back to that episode.
Yeah, the kind of mask and everything, and the mm-hmm. kind of fighting style in that scene was really, really good. And they had, like, they had a couple of moments where you could see the potential for it, but it really didn't even come close to living up to that, which... The thing with Avatar is that I think it would be really, really easy to make, you know, a series of movies, because you could really condense down some of the plot to make a really coherent movie that doesn't lose anything or any of the heart from the actual TV series if you cast it right, you get the right script, and you get the right people on board to do it, you know. Yeah, I have a lot of feelings about this, because I would love to,
I feel like the cast should have watched the series. I feel like they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was kind of disappointing is the guy who played Aang, Noah Ringer, he was like, he practiced Taekwondo, and he was cast as an open audition type of thing, and I feel like he was really good, and I really liked the way that he fought, and they at least took the time to have somebody who could do the moves and not just, like, teaching, you know, somebody, or having a stunt double, which is always really important to me in, like, martial arts types of films, but, you know, it just, that only goes so far when the rest of it sucks.
He was okay, I guess, for a child. I think a lot of the attitude directing, that's the director's fault, but I mean... He was like a terrible actor. he so missed bad. All of Aang's, like, charm. He was just so, like, serious. And the whole point of Aang, like, even when they're talking about how you're repressing yourself, you need to let yourself feel. Like, in the TV show, Aang really does that, because he's putting on this bubbly front. But in the movie, he was just like,
And I think a lot of that had to do with the writing. Like, they just made this movie a lot darker than it should have been, because both Sokka and Aang have those really bright kind of personalities. And to take that away from Aang in particular is like, he's a completely different character.
Yeah, like, can you imagine any of these characters on the beach two movies down?
No.
It wouldn't happen.
No. Did anyone else get a little bit mad about his, like, Enoma tattoos as well? Because I was just like, I don't understand, like, why they had to design them the way that they did. Because the thing
because
is,
it's sexier and more dark, Danya, obviously. Yeah, like,
clearly. But you'd think that having, like, a solid color for them, like, one solid color, would have probably made it easier on the makeup department.
But this is, like, when The Dark Knight was coming out and stuff like that, so everybody wanted to make everything darker, and I feel like that's kind of what happened to this movie. They were trying to make it too serious instead of a kid's movie.
It really, really didn't need to go in that direction at all. Because the thing with Avatar is that, yeah, okay, it has some really dark and serious moments, but the thing is that the humor and the kind of lighter moments is what makes that stuff hit harder, because it's not all gonna be, you know, gritty and dark and completely serious all of the time, especially when you're dealing with children who are having to go through these trials and these struggles, because they're always going to have, like, moments where they're gonna be kids. So taking away from that completely meant that it just fell flat. Having that balance between the serious moments where they have to, like, really concentrate on what they're doing and understand the gravity of the situation happening around them, you know, balanced alongside, you know, them having fun at the beach or them penguin sledding or anything like that. You know, that's what makes Avatar so special, is because it doesn't shy away from the fact that they're still kids, you know, but this movie completely missed the point.
Are we done talking about this movie yet?
Can we be done? I didn't even finish it before we got on the podcast.
I think Ariana said she had 12 minutes left. I had 47, so I don't even know how it ends.
I do want to ask, and now this kind of disappoints me, Ariana, that you didn't finish it. But, I mean, obviously you saw Azula in the, like, the middle of the movie. She comes back at the end.
Oh, and, she does?
Well, the Maybe thing is, you just see, like, Ozai saying, Zuko's ruined everything, now you are only hope, blah, 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 I need you to do this. And it kind of pans over to her, and she just, like, giggles and has this crazy smile, and, like, that part wasn't even good. But I wanted to know what you thought of Azula in the, like, hot 5 seconds that you saw her.
I mean, I didn't care. I was just so angry with everything. I mean, I think Mitch wrote in here, they couldn't even make Zutara sexy. I mean, obviously.
Oh, no, I totally wrote that in there. Thank you very much.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
The other thing is, did anyone else find it ridiculously optimistic of them when they put book one water at the start?
Yeah.
I was like, did they actually think that this was going to continue?
Oh my god, I actually, like, as I was watching the movie, I saw this comment somebody had left was, that was really good, I hope they make a third one. And I'm like, they're not even going to get to the second one, you already want a third one? But okay.
I want a third one, that was the best season.
Really sad we didn't get Toph, actually. That would have been cool to see her.
No, because then they would have ruined her.
I know, yeah, she gets to be perfectly preserved. They didn't even have Suki. She's in the first season.
They missed, like, a lot of stuff out. I mean, for better or worse, you know, at least with some of them, we can preserve the view of them that we have from the show. Or you can do what I kind of appeal to Twitter for, which is, you know, in Men in Black, the neuralizer to, like, wipe your memory. I've appealed to Twitter for one of those, so yeah.
I want to ask you guys who your favorite characters are, because obviously everybody knows Azula is my fave forever. So who's your guys?
That's such a hard question. That's such a hard question.
I like me, in case anyone's interested. No, but out of the core group, if I had to pick one, I don't know. I would probably end up saying Sokka, to be honest.
Sokka's my favorite, too.
I think, for me, it's either going to be Sokka or Azula. It's between the two. I really like Sokka.
I think I would go Sokka. I think I'd go Azula, and of the gang, probably Katara's my favorite now. Weirdly. And then probably Toph, and then Sokka.
Oh, Toph.
I love Toph
as well. I guess while we're on the subject of favorite characters, did you guys have a favorite episode or any, like, moments or anything that were your favorite?
Oh, I love so much. I really liked the beach episode, which I know is very divisive, but I just, like, love the Powerpuff Girls so much.
Karen and Brittany.
Honestly, I really, really liked the episode where we got Sokka's schedule, because I keep going back to that one in my mind. Just, I loved when Sokka was, like, trying to keep everyone on track, and then Katara had to go off and do her own thing, even though I hated
Katara. Oh, I hated that episode.
Well, all right, I should say that that's my favorite moment, then, would be when Sokka introduces Sokka's schedule. I can't, because I cannot get behind that episode at all, as a whole. But I think my favorite episode is when Katara and Zuko go on their field trip. Not just because of Zutara, but because Katara is, like, insane and I love it.
Yeah. That's also my favorite thing. I'm, like, obsessed with bloodbending. I think it's so cool.
I would still like to know if they could, like, suck water out of people. Like,
oh, definitely. You need to think big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I think my favorite episodes are the Boiling Rock, the part one and part two, just because, I don't know, like, Dead Suki came back, and Sokka was pretty awesome, and Zuko was awesome. I liked the two of them working together, and it was funny, but it was also really intense. And then the end of the Boiling Rock, when the Powerpuff Girls break up, it was kind of nice.
That Boiling Rock is, like, I love that as well. But I also really, really like the Ember Island place.
That was good.
I really, really like that episode because it's ridiculous. Karen, I don't know if you remember when we were in New York Comic Con, we ran into those two Toph cosplayers. Yeah. And there was the one who was, you know, really, really short, female, all dressed up. And then there was the big guy with her dressed up as Toph as well. And so I was funny. Like, it'll make sense eventually, I promise.
Oh, man. I wish I had, like, a picture of them now. Did you take a picture of them?
I think I have a picture of them.
You have to show me, because that's really important to me now. And yeah. I'm really upset, because that one girl that I remember who was playing Toph, like, I had no idea who she was, but, like, thinking back on it now, I realize how good of a cosplayer she was. The one that we saw upstairs in, like, the lounge area.
Yes.
She was really good.
Yeah, there were quite a lot of Avatar cosplayers around New York Comic Con last year. But I think it was probably because they had the massive farewell Korra panel, because that was the last panel that they were ever going to do for the show. But there was some, like, there were some really cool moments actually at that panel as well, where they had, like, cosplayers, like, at the front. They invited all the cosplayers down to the front to kind of show off and stuff. And there were a couple of people, like, there was, like, a Katara, there was a Zuko, there were a couple of Korra characters as well, which, you know, I won't spoil until we get to it, but they had, like ribbons in the colors of, like, water and fire and everything, and they were literally, like, ribbon dancing at the front, which was really, really cool. So, that was awesome. I love it when cosplayers get really, really creative with stuff like that. Let's have a look. What else can we
Oh, shipping. I mean,
shipping.
We need to talk about it.
Well, I'm a little worried because we had all the, like, Zutara haters on the other podcast, and I'm like, oh, they're going to be laughing at me, but I'm still Zutara 100%. It still hurts, but it's okay because we have Korra, and they'll be old, and they'll be able to better express themselves.
I'm telling you, we had a Tumblr ask that made me start thinking about a Nicholas Sparksy reunion type Zutara encounter where, like, Zuko and Mei broke up at some point and he created, like, another betrothal necklace and he held on to it for all these years, and then Aang dies and he's like, hey, Katara, I've had this necklace. And she's like, I was such a fool. Just adopt my stepchildren that I had with Aang, and we'll live happily ever after in the Southern Water Tribe. So, yeah, that's going to happen.
I like it. And that sort of saves, like, a lot of problems, too, because I feel like they really wanted Aang to get married so that he could have, like, airbender babies since they're all dead. Right? Because they need to, like, repopulate. Yeah,
he needs to start procreating soon.
Yeah, so he probably was like, Katara, we have to have, like, 10 babies, okay? So, but that's fine. He's dead now. And now Katara doesn't have to feel guilty anymore.
Unless you take, like, the view of the movie, and apparently, Aang, now that you're the Avatar, you can have no life ever at all. None. None.
No field trips.
No field trips.
Oh, that reminds me, though, because I was, like, really angry, obviously, at the end, because I wanted Zutara to be together. But I was thinking, you know, like, what would make this better? And I thought I would have really liked it if, like, Aang got adopted by, like, Katara's family. And they, like, he got his own family. Because I feel like that's what he really wants. Like, he wants Katara, but I feel like what he really wants more than anything is, like, a family, since that's what he's never had. And that's what he lost. And that would just make me so happy if Sokka and Katara were, like, his new brother and sister.
Oh, Ariana.
Well, it'd be so much better than them hooking up. He could find another, like, bender somewhere. It doesn't even have to be a bender.
No.
Like, I don't know.
It would probably be better if it wasn't a bender. Have
benders, so.
Yeah, because what if, like, Katara's waterbending cancels it out, and then that would
suck.
They're
stuck with a couple duds.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Listen, in the grand scheme of things, you either need an airbender or nothing. There are no airbenders.
No.
Like, what's going to happen if they don't have any airbenders, like, in three cycles? Is there just no Avatar?
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Because, like, they can hold out for with an avatar for, like, maybe 300 years max. Maybe 350. Unless they have an airbender.
Oh, shoot. He better start making them babies.
They kind of had, like, there's a lot of pressure there. And then there's a lot of pressure on that airbender because they have to keep it going for the 300-something years.
Yeah. I was just going to say, how does that work? Because if Aang's the only airbender left, he has kids. His kids are going to have to hook up with each other to make more airbenders.
No.
Wait, I'm no, because they can...
incest.
No. Yeah, they could have... They can how does hook that up work? They want.
They'll just be, okay, like, you know how I'm an Aztec princess. I'm obviously not 100% Aztec because of all the, like, raping and pillaging that went on in Mexico. So they'll be like that. They'll just be, like, really diluted airbenders. Okay,
but it'll still count.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. That's good.
And Aang's, like, guaranteed to have his heir, someone at least in his family, be the next Avatar.
Okay, then, yeah, it'll be totally fine. He'll just have 10 kids, and then it'll work.
So what was your just general consensus of the entire show? Because I'm not getting into this discussion.
Oh, Danya, you never told us, like, what your ship was.
My ship? Mm-hmm. This is the thing, is that I kind of, outside of the show, I'm kind of, like, anything goes kind of thing for the most part. The difficulty that I have within the show is that they're all still so young, and I find it really, really hard sometimes to get my head around their age and that being their forever kind of thing. So
that's very mature of you.
Yeah, so I kind of find it really, really difficult to look at it as what we get in the show as being the be-all and end-all. And so...
Okay, then how about who would you rather have a one-night stand then?
Who would I rather have a one-night stand? I don't know. I kind of like... I really like Zuko and June.
I do too!
Yeah. I don't know. Because they're both, like, both of those guys are older. So, I mean, I find it a lot easier to get my head around that.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't mean June. I meant that one girl that he left. I can't even remember her name. The one he left in the alley.
Oh, yeah. Dead alley girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like June. I just want more June all the time. But, yeah, I kind of, outside the show, though, like, if they age everyone up a lot, I'd find it a lot easier to ship it. I mean, I think... In the comics, for me, as Zuko and Mei have more moments that I really enjoy, rather than some of their ones from in the show. So I really, really like some of the stuff in the comics with them. And I don't know. I like Zutara, but I like it again if I think about them as older. And the thing
yeah,
is,
but they're like the same age as like. Cory and Topanga when they first got together.
No, Cory and Topanga were like 12. Yeah. In 7th grade.
Do I out myself here as like never having watched
that? Oh, Danya, I'm so sad for you.
I know. It wasn't a thing over here though, like at all. Or if it was, I didn't get the channel with it on. But like, It's definitely not a UK thing.
You need to watch it just for Eric Matthews. Life will be better.
Sean Hunter.
No, Eric Matthews. He's the best.
Hey, let's pitch it as a future rewatchable show.
Oh, that would take forever. There's the college years. Oh my gosh.
Oh, is that?
The college years are my favorite, I
Me
think.
Me too. Like senior
is it
year
super, super
on.
Long?
Like the weirder that they get. They all go to like such extremes. I'm really excited to read the comics, but something that does frustrate me is how, like, when we'd speculate things here, especially in shipping, everyone's like, but you have to read the comics. And I really feel like the show should be able to stand on its own storytelling-wise.
Well, the comics themselves just expand. Think of it like before... Obviously, the whole Star Wars thing came out and that they were doing more movies. What the... extended universe was for Star Wars. So it's basically taking the end of the show and just adding more to it. And everything in the comics is canon. It's all
I know. Stories I understand that they wanted that.
To tell, but didn't get the chance to do it on the show. And obviously, the only medium that they felt like they could do it in and continue to be able to produce it was in comic form.
I understand that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Brittany.
Yeah, no, I was going to agree with you, Ariana, that like you shouldn't be using the comics to make your argument for the show. Like, you know how like whenever we would get really into like Zutara because the relationship made so much sense in the show, it'd be like, well, it's not canon, but it is canon within the show. I feel like if we eliminate all of the comics,
it is. There's more support for it than there is for Mako. Like for Mako, there was really no support until she like sacrifices herself. But then that's really only showing her because then Zuko is like a total dick and forgets about her.
Yeah, I think when you read the comics and then you come back and watch parts of the show again, it gives you a different angle to watch it from. So it gives you like almost a different lens to view the show through. So it's really, really interesting to like, if you read them and then come back again and watch like certain arcs of the show. Definitely recommend picking them up though and going through and reading them because I just really enjoy them a lot. And they're still going, like the ones post Avatar The Last Airbender are still going. There's a new one coming out soon, I think, like really, really soon.
Yeah, I think there's one in March and then there's some in like October or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting some more of them. And yeah, you get to learn some really, really cool stuff that I really, really wish they'd, like, sometimes I really wish they'd gotten the chance to do it on the show, because it's stuff I would have loved to have seen in, like, flashback or explored, like, animated. But it's still just as good in the comics. I'll try not to spoil them too much for you, though, because it's really, really worth picking them up. What else have we got?
For our signs, I know that we already talked about this within ourselves, but what did you guys get for your sign, for your avatar sign?
I'm Zuko, and it's the greatest thing ever, and it makes so much sense why Ariana and I are linked.
Yes. It's obviously, I mean, I'm Sagittarius, so I got Azula, which was, like, the most beautiful thing ever.
I kind of knew mine was going to be fiery, though, just because I'm a Leo, so I knew it was going to be, like, something to do with, like, fierceness. I was like... And then I saw Zuko, and I was like, yes, that makes sense.
What did you get, Karen?
Danya, what do you guys?
Well, I got Katara, which apparently is expected or something, because the other group, I was listening to their part of the podcast, and they're like, oh yeah, Karen's totally Katara. And I'm like, half of you hate Katara. What does this mean?
Karen, I love Katara, so that makes me happy. She's such a badass. I like her because she's like kind of like subtle, you know? She's not like all out there about her badassery. She's like, you know, down to earth, and then all of a sudden she pulls it out and she's like, wham, I'm badass.
Which, you know, Karen, that's totally what you do.
That is what you are. You're the Neville Longbottom Gryffindor.
We did talk about this before, and I appreciated that comparison. So, okay. I can live with this.
And I'm a Gemini, so I am Appa and Momo.
Oh my gosh, Danya.
So perfect.
That's so perfect.
I'm like the little tiny mascot.
Oh, what did everyone else get? Let me see really fast. I'll skim. Natalie, she goes, Katara is such a Scorpio. That's so funny because she hates Katara. Caitlin got Toph, of course. That's perfect for Caitlin. And McCall got Sokka.
She wasn't very appreciative of that. But Mitch got Sokka too, and he connected with that.
Why wouldn't you want Sokka? He's magical.
I think she just doesn't think she's anything like Sokka.
Okay. Yeah.
They're both such opposites. It's funny that they got Sokka.
Yeah. Did you guys all take the Legend of Korra quiz that
figures out which element you'd bend.
Yes. Well, I did.
I did as well.
I got fire.
Too. How do you feel about that, Brittany?
I'm okay with it. You know, I've come to accept that I'm a little too fierce to bend air. I cannot meditate enough and concentrate to handle that. So, you know what? It's fine. I can be explosive.
I like it for you, Brittany, because I know, like, at the beginning, we were kind of, like, back and forth on what element would you be. But I like it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. What did you guys get?
I'm an airbender.
That's what we said for you, Karen. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, I think air makes sense for you.
I really, because you're really so do. Zen.
Yeah.
Your voice is so soothing.
Thank you.
But sometimes you can just make the air really, really deadly and cut a bitch.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. I got water.
Oh, I like that too, Danya. Or what do you usually say you are?
I have never actually, like, properly sat down to consider it before. Like, I hadn't really, really thought about who I would be or what I would, like, what element I would be. But I think water makes sense. I think I would have, I kind of would have seen myself as between water and air. I wouldn't know which way to go. I kind of don't see myself as, like, I guess one of the harder elements, like fire or earth. I think I'm a lot more calm sometimes than those elements would allow for.
I like water for you because you're very, like, nurturing and healing.
Okay, that makes sense, because whatever happens, like, everyone always calls me, like, the mother of, like, groups. I'm, like, the mother in work as well. Like, people are always, like, messing around, and I'm always like, okay, this is a job. You need to be doing your work. What are you doing? Put that down. No, don't do that.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I can attest to this. That's why
Karen is, yeah. And Karen, you're like the mom of Rewatchable. Maybe that's why you got Katara.
Danya's taken care of me a few times.
I have.
She really appreciate it.
Yeah. I kind of do that a lot. When things start, like, going really, really wrong, I'm always like, okay, everybody calm down. It's fine. I'm here. Everything's under control. let's see what else. Do we want to chat through Ariana's highlights?
Yes, because they're brilliant.
Okay. Ariana wrote an amazing highlights article. So if you're, like, just catching up, or if you've been following along the whole time, or I don't know, you randomly picked up this episode for some reason because it's, like, at the top of the iTunes and you're checking this out for the first time, go and have a look at this, because it gives you some really good reasons to pick up Avatar if you haven't yet, or kind of, like, just relive some of our funniest moments and best moments.
Yeah, let's just skim through it, though, because otherwise this episode is going to be, like, 5 hours long. So,
yeah, I will still say that, like, one of my favorite things is Mitch's lazy avatar.
Yeah, really glad you included a picture of my Christmas present to him.
Yeah. There have been so many great moments, though.
Caitlin's the, like, boulder is a huge highlight of mine.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I was crying, like, when she was doing that. It was so good. I like that you chose that necklace scene for the Zutara 5 Eva one, because that is where Zutara was born for me, and that picture just means a lot.
I also really liked when Ariana wrote in her own Katara love letter, and yes, no one knew that it was from her, but she used her birthday as, like, the ending of it.
Oh man, so good. I love obviously the incentives, the iTunes incentives with Karen.
Me too, even though they're basically just, you know, making fun of me, but it's okay.
You know, it's all in good fun. And of course, Ariana's synopsis. I was talking to Karen before we started this episode, and I was saying that I really, really wish that you'd made a summary for the Avatar movie, Ariana.
Korra is coming up soon.
Yes.
Ish. Sort of.
who's sticking around for the next bit? I know obviously we're going to be reuniting for Korra, but is anyone from this group sticking around for what are we next?
Yeah.
Freaks and Geeks.
Brittany, Ariana, Caitlin, and I will be transferring over. And we'll also have some new voices, some people who've never been on Rewatchable before, some people who haven't been on since Firefly, our very first
Have show. You announced them yet, Karen?
No.
Is this like an exclusive?
I was actually going to do it on Twitter right after we finish recording this. So stay tuned to there, because I don't know where my list is right now and I can't remember off the top of my head.
It should be fun because I'm going to be coming back to like Rewatchable as like listening to Rewatchable for Freaks and Geeks, because I'm going to watch along with you guys because it's a show I've been meaning to pick up anyway. So I'm going to be listening.
You should write in.
Yeah, listener feedback.
I will. Okay, I promise that I will do listener feedback or I'll tweet you guys or I'll do something. But yeah. As I'm watching along, because I'm
as the doc maker, I will always put you in the doc.
Aww.
And as the social media runner, I will always respond to you on Twitter.
Aww. See, look at you guys. Aw, you guys are so sweet. Which one of you responded to me when I was like watching Veronica Mars yesterday, by the way?
Oh, that was probably me.
Yeah.
I also did, because
yeah, you did too.
You posted a picture of Wallace and Veronica, and I was like, oh, my ship.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Ariana.
Yeah. It's so good.
It still
was
a healthier nice relationship, but
yeah. Oh, it was so nice going back because I'm literally watching it from season one again. So I'm watching it with a friend, and I'm gonna work my way all the way back up to the movie again. So that's fun. We got through half of season one in one sitting. So yeah. But yeah, so Korra, how excited are you to get to Korra after all of the little teasing bits that we've given you through the entirety of this rewatchable?
I'm excited. I am. I mean, like, no one wants Aang to die, but I kind of do.
Oh my gosh.
Why do you want him to die? Just...
I don't know. Like, I'm excited.
Shake things up?
Yeah, mix things up. See how people get along without him.
Mm. I'm excited for Korra to see, like, a girl be the Avatar.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm excited because I've heard there's, like, some sexy people. So.
They're not wrong. They're not wrong at all. Are you guys completely spoiler-free or mostly
no.
spoiler-free?
Not yeah. for the ending.
Yeah. Okay.
It was hard to avoid that working for Hyperbole.
That might be like a relief though, then if we're all spoiled on that, then we don't have to tiptoe around that.
Yeah.
Then we won't have Zutara again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is the thing. When I'm curious to see how I'm gonna feel, because a lot of people on the timeline, like there's some people who are like, oh my gosh, this is so great, and there's some people who are like, now I know how Zutara feels.
Yeah.
So
oh.
I'm curious to see what side I'll be on.
Okay, so we're going to get into our last little bit of listener feedback in a second. But whether you want to leave us some feedback for this, or if you're excited for upcoming Korra or Freaks and Geeks, as always, you can get hold of us via email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can message us on Twitter at @Ari_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperbole.com. You can get hold of us on our Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And as always, you can leave us an iTunes review. And if you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will recast the Last Airbender movie to have appropriate races, force everyone to pronounce Aang and Sokka correctly, and proceed to create a $150 million budgeted adaptation film that doesn't take a shit on its fabulous original source material.
We're going to get so many iTunes reviews after this. Yeah, that's the best
incentive we've had.
Yeah,
that is. Besides Karen balancing on the volleyball net, because that's my favorite one.
So, our last bits of listener feedback. From Hyperball, we have Gary65, who says, I shall go into 18 weeks of mourning until it's Korra time, so long as Ariana Synopsis is the Korra pilot. I think I'll make it. Can we make a promise that Ariana will do that? Can we?
Who? Is it just going to be, I don't know who the other person is doing it, but usually we have an old bee recap the pilot, but I don't actually remember who's the other recapper.
Mitch, isn't it Mitch? This time around.
Mitch isn't going to be here. Oh, wait, yeah, Mitch will be here. Oh, my gosh, yes. Okay, I'm excited.
Korra, come on.
Yes. So we'll see.
Ariana, do you want to get the feedback from Sarah?
Sure. Sarah says, I'm so glad you guys did Avatar. I didn't start listening to Rewatchable until I heard you guys were doing Avatar. And hearing you guys talk about it makes me so happy. I must say, Ariana, the first time I heard you, I really thought you were the voice actress of Azula. I had to look it up. You guys are the very best and can't wait to listen to more Rewatchable. Keep up the good work. Wow, Sarah, that is like the best compliment I've ever gotten. I don't think that's true at all that I sound like her. But Natalie has also said that. So,
yeah.
Maybe it's like the blue dress thing.
Yeah. From Twitter, Gordon says, Throwback Thursday, somehow I think this might be appropriate for your next recording. And he linked back to a very old Hyperball Battleships for Avatar, which was from 2012, which we'll make sure to link to, which kind of came up with, like, I think it came down to, like, Zutara versus Aang and Katara. Katang. So Katang.
And Katang won.
Believe Katang won? So yeah. Mean. However, the top comment from this post is basically a picture from Mulan when she's doing the, like, the matchmaker thing, and it's Zuko's face pasted on top of Mulan that just says honor to us all, and it basically says, where is Zuko / honor, because that is a legitimate ship.
You know, so what? I think
that might be my ship. That's my avatar ship. Zuko and honor. Gosh, all right, let's get through the rest of
Tabitha.
These super- yeah Tabitha says, I love Rewatchable. Now they're all talking about the terrible Dumbledore recasting. The Rewatchable hosts, like, know my heart. And Zuko doesn't know he's in a relationship with Katara. Well, Aang doesn't know he's not in a relationship with Katara. Hashtag Zutara5ever.
I remember that. That was you and Natalie, wasn't it, Brittany?
Yeah, it was.
Sometimes I feel like this is gonna sound like bad, but like I sort of feel like these were like the writers like superimposing themselves onto Aang, like, of course, you know, the hot babysitter that I always had a crush on would love me too if I was just the avatar.
Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, Gleek22 says, for newbies, what was the most surprising thing about the show?
That Zuko's scar was not face paint.
I was also gonna say something about Zuko, that he didn't die, because I seriously thought he was gonna die in the end.
What a relief that was for you. I mean, I know. I don't know if I could have gotten through that thinking that he was gonna die.
Oh, I was so upset, but then I was really happy.
And I just want to make sure that we don't miss anyone out because it's the last one. So I'll get through this last bit of feedback really, really quickly. So Christine sent us an email that says goodbye for now. And it said, hi, guys. I have a quick question about the finale. In one of the previous episodes, Toph tells Aang that his earthbending needs some work. And I think Zuko says something of the same sort about Aang's firebending. Am I the only one who thought that Aang's earthbending was really good in the fight against the Fire Lord before he entered the Avatar state? I'm sure he always can get better, but I didn't think it seemed like he was under-equipped when it came to his earthbending. Also, I have really enjoyed watching this as a newbie with you guys. This is an amazing project. I've been a listener since Firefly. Please never stop.
Okay, so this is easily like answerable by saying that everybody seems like a terrible earthbender to Toph because she is the best earthbender in the whole world and she can bend metal. So, yeah.
Also, I think it was an in-the-moment thing. Like, before, like, if you have to save yourself, you're going to be really good at whatever bending you're trying to throw against your enemy for that particular moment.
Yeah.
So I think he could use some work, firebending and earthbending and even waterbending, but I think in that moment, it didn't matter. Like, he wasn't focused on, am I doing this correctly? Am I standing correctly? It was just like, throwing things all over the place.
Yeah. There we go. That was the last piece of feedback. And that's it for the last episode of Rewatchables Avatar The Last Airbender recap. And obviously you'll keep hearing some of us if you stick around for Freaks and Geeks. Otherwise, we hope to hear you back when we pick up Korra. But we do hope that you do stick around. So for now, I'm Danya.
I'm Karen.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Labio Hotman.
Flameo.